Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm ecstatic, as always, to have you join me. If you're new to the show, welcome. Thank you so very much for joining me. I appreciate having you. Please come back again. Tell someone else about the show. Bring them on back with you. Become a regular. I'm ecstatic and honored to have you. For those of you who join me on a regular basis, you are consistent. You're true blue. I thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't do it, wouldn't do it, not even interested in doing this without you. I appreciate your support truly and genuinely. Whether you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it is always this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and on YouTube. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. We need to get into these hats because, I mean, we are 3 weeks in. We are 3 weeks only into this Trump presidency, and we are just winning across the board. And DEI, and DOGE, and cabinet members, the loss of DEI, shutting it down in organizations and corporations. We just can't stop winning, and it's absolutely contagious. But I want to talk about this DEI, because a coalition of Walmart investors supportive of the company's move to scale back its diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI policies, is urging the retail giant to stand firm against mounting pressure from left-wing activists and Democrat officials. The investors, backed by the conservative legal group Alliance Defending Freedom, the ADF, issued a letter commending Walmart's leadership for its decision to reverse course on DEI, calling it a critical step in restoring the promise of the American dream. Absolutely love that. You know, the lefties just can't stand that on our side, on Donald Trump's side, is the richest man in the world. And the largest retailer in the world, with Walmart, is actually reverting back and dropping DEI. And they just can't take it. They can't stand the losing. And I'm just loving the winning, right? But restoring the promise of the American dream. I love that. Signed by over 60 investors, advisors, and proxy consultants, the letter makes a strong case for Walmart to resist progressive corporate pressures. ADF senior counsel Jeremy Tedesco told Fox News Digital, which is where we got this source, that he hopes the letter will empower Walmart to stay resolute in its decision. And I quote, "Walmart made the right call by pulling back from DEI. They should now go even further and toss DEI into the dustbin of failed corporate policies."
Like many companies all across the United States, we've been on a journey and we continue to be on a journey. And what we're trying to do is to ensure that every customer, every associate feels welcome here to shop and to feel like they belong. And that term belong, we've been talking about belonging now for almost 2 years. Early 2023, we started talking about belonging. And we're going to continue to make the best decisions we can that makes everyone, our customers, our associates, feel like this is an environment they can shop in and thrive in.
Now, Walmart announced in November that it would scale back its DEI efforts, aligning with a growing number of companies rejecting divisive and unnecessary social policies. Among its actions, Walmart pledged to remove third-party transgender products improperly marketed toward children from its online stores and to reevaluate grants given to Pride events to prevent exposure to inappropriate content. Now, I'm for one all for it. A little late, but you know what? Okay, with Donald Trump in office, backed by this amazing cabinet, I guess they found some courage. I'll take what I can get. A win is a win. Additionally, the retailer severed ties with the Human Rights Campaign Corporate Equity Index, which pressures companies to conform to radical LGBTQIA alphabet soup policies, okay? Walmart also eliminated the use of Latinx and DEI in official communications, which signals a return to common sense business practices over ideological activism. actually, they're just acting as a corporation, acting as a business. They're staying out of politics, which is what they should do, right? As Walmart faces backlash from the left, conservative investors are making it very clear. Standing up for traditional business values and the American consumer is the absolute right choice. Now, Walmart's decision to roll back its DEI policies is a bold and commendable step towards restoring merit-based business practices and reaffirming the values that made American economy strong in the first place by rejecting divisive identity politics in favor of fairness and equal opportunity. The truth is, what American people actually want is for businesses to just simply operate within their lanes. If you're a retailer, sell stuff. If you're a fast food joint, sell food, okay? If you're a tires place, fix my tires, rotate them, right? Patch up the holes and stay out of politics. Don't tell me how to think. Don't tell me how to vote. And don't try to force your ideology on me. So by rejecting divisive identity politics in favor of fairness and equal opportunity, Walmart is setting a precedent for other corporations to follow. Okay. For too long, for far too long, large companies have bowed to progressive activism, prioritizing ideological agendas over customer service, employee merit, and shareholder interests. Walmart's course correction sends a clear message that businesses should focus on excellence, customer service, getting out their product, profits, profit margins, innovation, and serving American families rather than engaging in social engineering. As one of the world's largest retailers, Walmart's leadership on this issue will undoubtedly inspire other corporations to rethink their DEI commitments, paving the way for a shift back to common sense and traditional business values that prioritize success over virtue signaling. So what you're going to see is everyone else is just going to simply fall in line. They won't want to be the only ones that are maintaining DEI. They're going to want to fall in line. So we'll see it eventually. Everybody wants to join a winner. And we're on the winning team. Speaking of other winners, the tradition goes on. We're going to talk about Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi just dropped a major bomb that had me pumping my fists in the air. She's bringing a lawsuit. She's going after the jugular. She's going after Letitia James and Kathy Hochul and Mark Schroeder of the DMV for their immigration crimes. She's proving once again that she is a force to be reckoned with, fearlessly taking on the lawless leftist machine that has turned New York into a sanctuary for criminals. This hurts me a little bit personally because, you know, originally I'm a New Yorker, okay? Letitia James and the state's radical governor, Kathy Hochul, have made it clear, and Mark Schroeder, the whole team, have made it clear that they prioritize illegal immigrants over law-abiding citizens, openly defying federal immigration laws and putting American lives at risk. Point blank, bottom line. Bondi's decision to prosecute them is not just necessary, it's long overdue. And it sends a really strong message, because if you did this and you are in a blue city and your leadership in a blue city, you should be shaking in your boots, okay? These Democrat elites have weaponized their offices to undermine national security. They've funneled taxpayer dollars into harboring illegal aliens, and they've turned New York into a breeding ground for crime. And the simple fact is, here's the savage truth, enough is enough. That's the message she's signaling. See what I mean right here?
We're here today because we have filed charges against the state of New York. We have filed charges against Kathy Hochul. We have filed charges against Letitia James and Mark Schroeder, who is with DMV. This is a new DOJ, and we are taking steps to protect Americans, American citizens, and angel moms, like the mom standing right behind me, who you're going to hear from in a moment. New York has chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops today. As you know, we sued Illinois, and New York didn't listen. So now you're next.
For years, Letitia James and New York Governor Kathy Hochul, along with Mark Schroeder, have treated immigration laws like mere suggestions, ignoring the devastating consequences of their reckless policies. To everyone, especially the citizens of New York, sanctuary city policies have unleashed violent criminals onto American streets while hardworking citizens are left to suffer under skyrocketing crime and drained public resources. These so-called leaders have shielded illegal immigrants at the expense of American safety and American people, defying the Constitution and spitting in the face of federal law. And Pam Bondi is here to address all that. She's stepping in where weak-kneed Republicans have hesitated, sending a clear message that there will be consequences for betraying the American people. The left's arrogant disregard for the law has gone unchecked for far too long, but Bondi is here to remind them that no one, not even Democrat power players, is above justice. Letitia James and her elitist friends have no problems persecuting conservatives with sham investigations and politically motivated prosecutions. Yet, they believe that they can break the law with impunity. That ends now, as Pam Bondi said. Bondi's aggressive legal strategy is exactly what's needed to hold these criminals accountable, exposing their corruption and ensuring they face real legal repercussions. The days of Republicans playing nice with Democrats runs roughshod over the rule of law is over. This is a turning point. If Bondi succeeds, and I believe she will, and she must, it will send shockwaves through every blue state that thinks it can trample immigration law without consequences, like Minneapolis, Minnesota. Okay, Democrats have used lawfare as a weapon against conservatives for years, and now it's time they get a taste of their own medicine. Letitia James and New York's radical governor must be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Their dangerous policies dismantled and their abuse of power exposed. Pam Bondi is showing America what real leadership looks like. It's unapologetic. It is fearless. It is courageous. It is relentless in the fight for justice. The left's days of unchecked lawlessness are truly, truly numbered. Now, let's move on to another ray of sunshine, because she's got receipts. I am, of course, speaking of Caroline Leavitt. Let's play the video.
As for the actual receipts, we are happy to provide them, and I actually brought some today because all of you know I love to bring the receipts. We have contracts upon contracts that we can send and provide this information to you. Let me be very clear. We are not trying to hide anything. We have been incredibly transparent, and we will continue to be. These are screenshots of contracts that DOGE found across our government. This is a DEI contract, $36,000 for U.S. citizenship and immigration services. That is against the president's policies and his America First agenda. This is a $3.4 million contract, a Council for Inclusive Innovation at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, Department of Commerce, another DEI contract that DOGE identified. I can continue to go through these. Oh, I love this one. $57,000 for climate change in Sri Lanka. What is this doing to continue the interests of the American people? Absolutely nothing. These are the line items across the federal government that DOGE is identifying daily. They're moving very fast. There's a lot of paper that we can show you, but we're happy to do it. This administration has been more than transparent about what DOGE is doing. And here's one of their tweets that they posted about the mine. I believe this is in Pennsylvania, where the federal employee retirement system is being processed. Did anybody know this was even happening in our country before Elon Musk talked about it in the Oval Office yesterday? A lot of Americans didn't. So we are providing transparency and accessibility on a daily basis when it comes to DOGE. And I also have a DOGE daily report, if anybody would like it, on all of the things that they are identifying and finding. We're happy to provide this information to you. We're talking about it every single day.
So Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this DOGE effort is exposing the corrupt empire and the Democrats and the far, far left and their media lapdogs. They're all in panic. They are in all-out panic. And for good reason. Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and the DOGE initiative are ripping the mask off their decades-long corruption
and they can't stand it. These elites have operated in the shadows, siphoning off American taxpayers' dollars to fund their pet projects, backroom deals, and globalist agendas, all while feeding the public a steady stream of lies, untruths. It's always at the expense of the American people, it seems. Now, Trump, Musk, and Doge are exposing their fraud with hard evidence, ironclad receipts, and an unrelenting demand for transparency. And rather than face the truth, the left is doing what they do best: smearing, silencing, sidestepping the issue, cover-ups, and weaponizing the system to protect their crumbling empire. The reason the establishment despises Trump is simple. He's uncontrollable. He isn't owned by lobbyists. He's not owned by foreign interests or corporate or overlords. He shattered their rigid system once, and they know he will do it again. Elon Musk is equally dangerous to their narrative. By buying Twitter, now known as X, and releasing the Twitter files, Musk exposed how deep the censorship, election interference, and the collusion between big tech and the government really went. The Doge initiative takes it even further, however, tracking the moment and the movement of every taxpayer and their dollars, uncovering fraud and bloated government programs, and demanding that every dollar be accounted for. It's just that simple. The left isn't afraid of opinions. They're afraid of proof, cold, undeniable facts that reveal the scale of their corruption. These frauds hate transparency because it strips them of their power. When the American people see the receipts, they begin asking questions, which is exactly what the left does not want. Questions that the left, the elitists, the Democrats, the corporate media, and the deep state bureaucrats do not want answered. There are things they don't want uncovered or to be seen. Where did all that infrastructure money really go? Why did trillions vanish into untraceable foreign aid? Who profited from the manufactured crises of the past decade? The answer is always the same, unfortunately: corrupt politicians, global elites, and the ruling class. The moment citizens realize how badly they've been swindled, the game is over. That's why the media launches nonstop attacks, labeling Musk a dangerous extremist. That's why they do it. Trump, they label as a threat to democracy, and they label Doge as a conspiracy theory. The truth is, they're all direct threats, all of them, to the corrupt status quo. The left isn't just afraid of losing power, folks. They're afraid of justice. They know that once their fraud is exposed, the people will demand accountability and their entire system will come crashing down. I think this in itself will ensure that Republicans remain in the presidency for years to come, consecutive years to come. That's why they fight so viciously, weaponizing law enforcement, fabricating scandals, and silencing dissent. But no amount of consent of censorship or political persecution will stop the truth from coming out. Believe me, Trump, Musk, and Doge, their effort are not just exposing fraud. They're leading a revolution to take back the American tax dollar. They are dismantling the deep state, and they are returning power to the people. And that is exactly why the left is terrified. Now, I'm going to end the show on a sore subject. You've heard me speak on this before, and I'm going to get as passionate as I always do because it strikes a nerve with me, and that subject is reparations, because it is back in the news, unfortunately, brought by one of the squad members, Ayanna Pressley. It never goes away, savages. Nope. Not warts. I'm not talking about dandruff. I'm not even talking about taxes, although that is a savage truth. Taxes never go away. I'm talking about the subject of reparations. Actually, squad member Ayanna Pressley is talking about reparations again.
It is so important. I mean, Black people, look, we are We are magic. We are miracles. We have resilience. We're hardwired. It's in our, you know, our ancestral DNA. But we cannot only do the work of resistance. It is important to advance a vision of another world that we believe that is possible. And we have to name that in order to manifest that. You know, a world where Black boy joy is a rite of passage. A world where Black men grow old. A world where you can be Black and birthing and safe and sacred, and that is a right and not a privilege. A world where we pass on not generational trauma, but generational wealth, health, and Black joy. So we're naming that. So that's what I do think is possible. If we dig deep and people of conscience come together and honor the will of the majority of the people who call this country home.
So Ayanna Pressley is at it again, peddling the same tired, divisive, race-baiting rhetoric in a desperate attempt to push for reparations. Her speech, laced with empty platitudes and emotional manipulation, has nothing to do with justice and everything to do with power and control. So let's be clear, reparations are nothing more than a socialist wealth redistribution scheme dressed up in the language of racial grievance. The idea, the very idea that today's hardworking taxpayers should foot the bill for something that happened hundreds of years ago is not just absurd, it's outright theft. Pressley and her radical allies standing there don't care about unity. They don't really care about unity. They don't care about progress or real solutions. They care about guilt tripping and strong arming America into handing over trillions to fuel their never ending victimhood complex. Let's address her no nonsense head on, because we're going to quote her out of this video. Black people, we are magic. We are miracles. Now, what does that actually mean? No one in America is denying the resilience or the achievements of Black Americans, because America itself is built on resilience. Pressley loves to talk about ancestral DNA, but she ignores the fact that Black Americans have more opportunities today than ever before. The real problem isn't racism. It's politicians like her who sell oppression as a product. And instead of celebrating success and independence, she perpetuates a narrative that keeps Black Americans chained to government handouts and endless grievance politics. It's so exhausting. Her version of Black boy joy isn't about success, it's about dependency. That's not empowerment. It's manipulation. And her claim that we want a world where Black men grow old isn't offensive as it is dishonest. Black men aren't being hunted in the streets by some imaginary racist America. The real problem, one Pressley refuses to actually address, is fatherless homes, crime-infested cities run by Democrats, and a culture that glorifies lawlessness. It's Black men killing and slaughtering other Black men. And instead of blaming systemic oppression, maybe she should take a hard look at the policies of her own party, the same party that has destroyed Black families with welfare dependency, defunded the police in crime-ridden neighborhoods, and turned cities like Chicago into actual war zones. If she really cared about Black men growing old, she'd be demanding law and order, school choice, and economic opportunity, not pandering with meaningless slogans. And finally, let's demolish her nonsense about passing on generational trauma. Newsflash, America doesn't owe you or anyone anything. Every generation, regardless of race, has to work hard. They have struggled and have fought for their success. That's life. But instead of encouraging Black Americans to build wealth, create businesses, and take charge of their future, Pressley wants to hand them a government check soaked in white guilt. That's not Black joy, that's economic enslavement. The only people who benefit from the race hustle are Democrats like her, who keep Black Americans trapped in a cycle of dependency so they can hold onto power. Reparations aren't justice. They're a con. It's time to reject this poisonous narrative, stop looking to the government for handouts, and embrace real empowerment, personal responsibility, hard work, and true, true economic freedom. And that is a savage truth. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.